the rest of the story. So much of what was once hush-hush is now out in the open. Yet for all of our newfound frankness, the stigma of venereal disease may never be completely erased. For one, it's a tattletale malady. Beyond its own specific pathology, it advertises what you've been up to. Today, it's still difficult for victims to discuss. Imagine the shame of those thus afflicted almost 200 years ago. Once upon a time, about that time, there was a great leader with an unspeakable affliction. He was determined that the world never learn what ailed him. And the three people who did know were sworn to secrecy. The leader was Napoleon, Emperor of France. From the beginning, Napoleon Bonaparte never doubted the nature of his illness. For many years, he was hopeful of finding a cure. Of course, that sort of thing was incurable back then. So the emperor settled for treating the symptoms. The least pleasant of those treatments was leeches. Then there was a bathing solution suggested by Napoleon's surgeon, Larrey. The concoction consisted of 15% subacetate of lead in boiled distilled water. Therefore, the emperor's valet, Marchand, had strict instructions to carry distilled water on all of the master's military campaigns. So Larrey, the surgeon, knew of Napoleon's affliction, as did Marchand, the valet. The third was Jerome, Napoleon's youngest brother. And almost 40 years after the emperor's death, Jerome, near death himself, confided the rest of the story. Napoleon was in a tremendous amount of physical discomfort at one of the most critical times of his life, during the Battle of Waterloo. By then, his condition had progressed to the extreme. The familiar symptoms were now virtually impossible to suppress. Any hope Napoleon had of recapturing his former glory rested on his energy, his ability to think clearly, to maintain concentration. But now we know that Napoleon's mind was mostly on his own physical suffering. For years after the emperor's defeat at Waterloo, students of the circumstances were pondering the inconsistencies. So uncharacteristically, Napoleon had dug in when he should have attacked. He had slept when he should have been vigilant. He had left the battlefield during some of the most crucial fighting to go off by himself somewhere. Thanks to Brother Jerome's revelation these years later, we now understand that Napoleon had gone to a nearby farmhouse where he could medicate himself in private. Even then, the emperor's agony was relieved only temporarily. The critics of such reporting as this sometimes call it historical voyeurism. Why, they ask, do we not spare the celebrated dead the embarrassment they sought to avoid in life? Well, I don't know. I don't know, except that in this case, at the risk of oversimplifying, it is irresistible to conjecture that the entire Western world might now be speaking French if Napoleon had had access to a 20th century drugstore. For history relates that Napoleon Bonaparte was defeated, in the end, by an excruciating case of hemorrhoids. And now you know the rest of the story.